This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability in the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, I do try my best to reduce my impact on the environment. I don't eat meat, travel by bicycle where I can, avoid flying. You know the kind of things that I mean. But when it comes to my online activities and the websites that I look after, well, I have to admit that I haven't really thought about what my impact might be and how I might change it. However, the online world is developing so rapidly and our use of it seems to get ever bigger. So I thought it would be good to find out what kind of issues we should be aware of and how we can all make changes to reduce the impact that our online activity has on the real world, both as individuals, but particularly if we look after a charity or a business with an online presence. And who better to help us with this than Rachel Redondo, Digital and Operations Manager at 22 Business Support and Development. I spoke to Rachel earlier and I started by asking her to explain to us some of the sustainability issues that surround the internet and communications technology.
One of the key factors that affects us today is carbon footprint monitoring. So within developing countries in particular, as technology evolves, it's ever so difficult to measure all those impacts. In particular, you know, third world countries that haven't even caught up with the last 20 years worth of technology in the Western world, it's very difficult to measure this. Another thing is e-waste. So in particularly with the internet, as software's update, we all know that iPhones and Androids, they're constantly updating. You get that notification that comes up. People want the latest phone all the time. So devices are being wasted. People are buying more frequently. And in the long run, this just won't be sustainable ever if we keep adopting these measures and habits. And a final thing, of course, is sustainable government policies. You know, we have net zero fast approaching. We have 2050 being our goal. Is it achievable? Yes, when you're, you know, the big four and you're government backed. But actually with SMEs and local businesses, it's quite difficult, unless you're being handheld, to know how to reach those goals as well.
Indeed. And I suppose we don't think about the internet as using energy, as having a carbon footprint, but it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I looked up this morning and double took. So the entire ICT sector is estimated to use about 2-4% of global electricity consumption. So you online, whether you're browsing on a web page, whether you're buying something online, booking flights, it's actually a larger proportion of users online that are affecting sustainable measures in the long run. One of the things that I looked up being in the digital sphere is web pages and how much that can take on as well. So approximately 0.8 grams of CO2 is used up per page we visit on a website. Now, 0.8 might not seem like quite a lot in the long scheme of things, but if we were to work more sustainably, we could knock that down by about three quarters if we were to be better optimised online with our websites as well.
And you can get through a lot of web pages, can't you?
Oh yeah, I definitely can. The more I start browsing, the more I don't stop looking.
Yeah. And I suppose it isn't just carbon footprint. There are other ethical issues that we need to be thinking about as well, aren't there?
Yeah, definitely. I know that when devices are being produced here in the UK and then across the world, you know, we're using Earth's materials with extraction. So there's a huge problem with materials being used, fossil fuels being burnt. And there are other ways, you know, wind, solar energy that we could adopt as an alternative. But these are ever growing and everlasting. The more we use AI, the greater they burn. I was reading an article the other week about the emissions that are burnt in order for AI to thank us, or when we thank AI chatbots. It's almost a pointless activity, but you want to be polite and the human in you wants to do so, but actually it's not as sustainable as we think.
It's just not something that crosses my mind in the internet world, just the thought that actually it can be as damaging as the things that I'm doing in the real world. I just don't think about it at all. And I suppose a lot of people are like that, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. And when it's something intangible and you can't see it, it's very, you know, if you have a meter and you can see how much of something you might be using, you know, smart meters with electricity in your homes are great because they have a visual prompt. But actually online, you won't realise that if you're using your phone with a GPS system, how much data that would use up and then how much carbon that might emit as well. When you're going from A to B, you know, sometimes we do need to go back to A to Z guidebooks and do it the old-fashioned way because we don't realise the impact.
There's probably lots of other advantages, perhaps for our brains and things like that as well, aren't there? So yeah, there's lots of food for thought there, isn't there? So just thinking about things like websites, a lot of us look after websites, perhaps, you know, if we've got a charity or a small business. How can you make web design more sustainable?
It's a great question, and people ask me on a weekly, if not daily basis, are there tips and tricks that we can be doing? And much like with today's digital world, things are constantly evolving. Some of the things that I always say in particular with websites is monitoring your performance, for instance. So going on to Google Analytics. Some people might be familiar with that. Some people might need a little bit more prompts. There are lots of free courses online that you can take that show you the basic guides. And that's just a great way of looking at your website speed and your page sizes as well. So could you reduce the carbon that's being emitted on a page by embedding a video rather than uploading a video? To some, that might mean something. To others, it might not. And that's the beauty of the web world, is it's constantly changing. Another thing as well is having mobile-friendly design. So making sure that you prioritise lightweight design on your pages rather than clunky, larger sites, for instance, e-commerce stores. You'll often see if you're on a desktop, maybe 5 or 6 columns along. On a mobile, you might see only 2 or 3 because you want it to be not only more accessible to the user, but also to have a faster accessibility for the page to load on a smaller device. And also, essentially, to make more money. E-commerce platforms are very aware that we're mobile users on the daily basis. So we need to make sure that that's optimised in its essence. And talking about optimization, optimizing images. So making sure that the file sizes that we put onto web pages are smaller. Can they be in better formats? And again, that's a whole wide web and whirl of different formats. You can have JPEGs, PNGs, you know, lots of acronyms and letters that I throw out there, but a lot of people in the world know about it, and those that are just starting might not. So it's good to educate and signpost people.
Okay, and this can all make a difference to how our website performs and how sustainable it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So the response time, how optimised your site might be, these are all keywords that people throw out there that when you're perhaps looking to review your website, and I would call it giving it a facelift, you want to make sure that these are the basics that are covered. So, you know, making sure you have description and header titles on pages, that's kind of the technicalities. But the really simple things, adding alt captions to your images. So to make it more accessible, you're essentially adding a description to an image that people can read, but also browsers can read and search for. You want to make sure that it's accessible in a reasonable time, but also allowing Google, Bing, Yahoo to find it in the right ways. And they're very simple things that we can do.
Okay. Well, they do sound like very sensible steps there. And it's good to know that there's steps that we can take that do make things a little more sustainable. So, of course, any website that we've got, it needs hosting, doesn't it? Now, I won't pretend to know much about hosting, but can we make that a bit more sustainable?
Oh, absolutely. So one of the other things I'll throw out there is about 3.7% of global emissions is fully responsible and caused by the internet. And one way that we can help reduce that is by green hosting our websites. So what do I mean by that? It's an environmentally friendly way of hosting your websites. Traditional web hosts would have data centres in the UK or perhaps across the world that by nature tend to run on fossil fuels being burnt. The idea of green hosting is that it's sourced by renewable energy. So whether that be carbon offset programmes that they put in place, whether it be energy efficient technologies, the idea being that we are adopting the measures that are out there, such as solar energy, wind farms that we can have, in order to run these data centres and essentially try and make them 100% renewable.
Again, I hadn't even really thought that that would be available. And that's that there are companies that are doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we host with many different partners that are focused on either carbon offsetting or being 100% renewable. One of those partners is Nimbus that were local to us and we've partnered with for 3 or 4 years. Another favourite of mine would be Crystal, who are actually the first B Corp green web hosting agency in the UK. They themselves have 100% renewable energy that they use from the sun, sea and wind. So you know that you're doing good. Again, this is an intangible asset, so it's quite nice to know that whilst you're hosting your website, and you may or may not understand what that means, that the company and the third party that are supplying this service are also doing their due diligence to have a social impact that your supply chain then reflects on.
You know, that sounds brilliant. The fact that these are companies in the UK that are doing this, even local companies.
Yeah.
The fact that we've got even B Corps, so there's like an external certification that they're doing the right thing. That's really reassuring to know, isn't it? So, yeah, thank you so much for telling us about that. So I just wondered if you could tell us how you help businesses and local charities to develop sustainably their online presence?
Well, it varies. It depends on whether we're working with SMEs. Our niche and my passion is working with the third sector, the non-for-profits. So one of the first things I would say is greener hosting. Definitely we've seen an increase in the number of people that want this to be part of their vision, mission and values, and they want to have this in their back pocket. Another thing is the financial incentive we can offer. So Crystal, who I mentioned, are one of our partners. They actually offer free charity hosting for websites for UK registered charities. A lot of charities might not know that. They might be spending £200-400 a year. And actually, that's their bottom line. You know, we work with a fabulous charity called Comfort Cases UK that provide a backpack. They're getting rid of the black bin bag for children and young adults in the foster care system. Notoriously, they might move with a black bin bag in the middle of the night with all their belongings and nothing. And what they do is they give them a backpack with a teddy bear, toiletries, hygiene packs, notepads. It's all age appropriate. And they were spending about £350 a year on their website hosting. Now, that £350 has actually provided 7 or 8 backpacks for children across the UK. And so we know that that bottom line is really vital. So I would say greener hosting is definitely a better way and a financially more viable way for charities to be able to want to develop within the sustainable field when it comes to websites. One final thing, if I can add as well, is the circular economy. So going through refurbished products, so buying secondhand laptops, buying refurbished tablets for young adults and children, apprentices, businesses can definitely tap into this. And there are lots of, again, non-profit companies that are providing this as a service, and or businesses that have surplus devices that could be doing more rather than just selling on, but they could be recycling but giving to a cause as well. So these are the many ways that we help consult and advise some of our SMEs and charity clients. But of course, I'm always open to partnering with others and learning, because if we can signpost, then we're doing one thing better than we were doing this morning.
So have you got any more advice for making our charity or our small business a bit more sustainable? Perhaps things that don't now relate to things like websites?
Definitely. And we as a business at 22 have tried to do this constantly as well. I'd like to mention some tools and resources actually that we've used. So Wenter are a phenomenal platform and resource for people to apply to lots of carbon footprinting tools that they might have, and grants as well. So they're funded in order to adopt more sustainable business practices within the local area, and we have used them as well to become more carbon efficient in our processes, whether that be turning off our desktops, whether it be recycling, which are the standard norms today, but it might be not replying to an email. So when I just need to acknowledge an email versus when I need to thank someone, I might not need to send that thank you. And I've learned that from lots of courses that we've done. Small Business Britain, who were sponsored by BT, have also provided lots of resources and online free courses that we've attended. My partner Amanda and I have both been on these courses that have taken us to the House of Commons, and it's really exciting to see people across the UK that are using and learning and gleaning bits of information from other businesses as well. But let's say that you aren't online, you're not tech savvy, you're not really sure what to do. There are lots of social impact reports that are out there that are more focused on the individual. For instance, businesses, there's lots of EV charging grants. You could cycle to work. And, you know, those schemes are about, there are more pedestrianised areas now than ever before. I would highly recommend that workplaces look into providing this now before staff start to ask for that, because the incentive is that you have a happier work culture. And these are all sustainable methods that we can all adopt easily. Whether there's a financial implication or a time implication, it's worth having these conversations, and it's healthy to learn what other businesses are doing as well.
It certainly is. it seems to me that it's a world that is constantly changing for all of us, isn't it? And
definitely.
Actually, if we can learn from each other, and particularly from great businesses like yours, it's going to benefit us all.
Yeah, no one's perfect, and we always like to say that. But it's quite nice to know that we're doing some good. So for me, running the digital division, if I can provide green hosting, it's one thing that I'm adding to another business. If it's introducing a charity to a client of ours on the corporate side, then it's a footprint that we're leaving somewhere, whether it be a carbon footprint or a community footprint. It's nice to know. But it's all about partnering. It's all about networking. And, you know, you and I having this conversation now and learning from each other. I'm sure you might have learned things today, just as I've done and I will do this afternoon, that I didn't know. So it's nice and healthy to have these conversations.
Certainly is. I have learned loads. Rachel, thank you so much for telling us about that today. I was talking there to Rachel Redondo, Digital and Operations Manager at 22. And I'll put a link to Rachel's business and to the resources that Rachel mentioned into the notes that go with the podcast of this show, and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. So it looks like those one-line thank you emails that I tend to send have to go. I suppose not only will it reduce my online carbon footprint, but it will save me and the recipient of them time. But what do you think? It's always good to hear from you. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6, on X and on Facebook. And it was great to hear from Leah Ellis of the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, who asked me to tell you about the first ever Herts Rivers Week. It runs until the 8th of June, and there's a whole programme of inspiring walks, talks and family activities, even the chance to learn how to draw a kingfisher. It's a great opportunity to learn about our country's internationally rare chalkstream rivers and the wildlife that relies on them, as well as understanding the challenges that they face. And because it's never good to hear about a problem without finding out how you can be part of the solution, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust are challenging us to three actions they'd like us to take to help the aquatic environment in Hertfordshire. And I'll pop that link too into the show notes so that you can explore the events on offer and take action to help. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.